Hey, how you doing, Ignite City? Hey, I'm so sorry it's been so long since I posted one of these things. But I wanted to share this because I was spending time with the Lord just now. I just finished in Leviticus 6 in our Bible reading plan. And chapter 6 of Leviticus, I'm sorry, Leviticus 6, 1 through 7. Let me open to it real quick. It really hit me. And I know I make jokes about it often. It's like Leviticus, like, what's that book about? Is that the part where people get bored and they don't want to read the Bible anymore because we don't know how to apply it? But I feel like over the years, especially the last few, the more time I've spent with the Lord in Leviticus, it's been so rad. The part that hit me was this. Listen, there's a couple things that stood out. Verse 1 of chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses. When someone sins and offends the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in regard to a deposit, a security, and then he goes on and gives this list. The part that hit me in that is when someone sins and offends the Lord. I had to stop and ask myself, do I see my sin as that which offends the Lord, or do I see it as a mistake or something that I'm caught in? I think what has happened, and I've been guilty of it over the years, as many others have, is like we look at sin because we're in Christ and we're forgiven. Well, sin are just mistakes, and Jesus sympathizes with us when we sin. And I don't know that that's true. What I do believe is he sympathizes with us in our struggles, absolutely. But he sees sin as offensive to God. I think that's important, that we would see sin as an offense toward God rather than just a mistake that I've made. It took me to Romans chapter 12, or actually verse 4, chapter 4, verse 15, where it talks about Jesus saying, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. Now, friends, that word weakness is not the word for sin. The word weakness there, it means weakness or sickness, disease, feebleness, malady, frailty, infirmity, and disability. So it really is just our weaknesses. It could be our struggles, the things that we face, even our struggle against sin, how sin can bombard us, and we can get overwhelmed by it, and we can get beaten down by it. And Jesus sympathizes with us in our weakness, but he does not sympathize with us in our sin. I think that's different. Jesus did not have a sin nature, and I believe that therefore, because Jesus did not have a sin nature when he came, that he did not have the ability to sin. But he understands temptation. He understands our weaknesses as being humans and the things that we have to struggle with. He sympathizes with us in those things. But what should our attitude towards sin be? I then thought of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. He says, in struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That word struggling is where we get our word antagonize. The Greek word leads us to the English word of antagonize. And I looked up that word. It means to cause someone to become hostile or angry. Am I living my life in a way against my sin that it would tick sin off if sin were a person? That it would cause sin to be hostile because I'm fighting against it. I'm struggling against it. I'm not supposed to look at sin as that which, well, I'm just a victim of it. There's nothing that I can do. I'm actually supposed to crucify my flesh, so my sinful desires daily. I'm supposed to give those up constantly. But I'm not supposed to just look at sin and go, well, that's just part of who I am. No, who I am is forgiven. I'm in Christ. I'm received by Jesus because of his grace. I've been redeemed. I've been ransomed from sin, and yet I still struggle against it. I think Hebrews chapter 5 is pretty clear about that. Hebrews chapter 12 is pretty clear about that. And so then what do I do? Like if I think, okay, so here's all these sins, and it could be a sin that I do, but we've also seen in the last couple of days where there are sins that we do that we didn't even know that we did. And we're supposed to rest upon the grace of God and the sacrifices in the Old Testament that the priest would make as an atonement for those who sinned, even the sins they didn't even know, even though they didn't know they sinned, the offering would be presented by the priest as an atonement, and they would be forgiven of those things. So if you think about how many times per day am I doing something that maybe I wasn't even aware that I did that would be offensive to God, along with those things that I do that are offensive to God, as well as the things that I think or feel that go against righteousness that is defined by God in his word for us. So every thought, word, deed, feeling that is sinful against God is an offense to God. So what do I do? Well, in Leviticus, they'd have to present certain offerings and sacrifices, but we look at Jesus as being the fulfillment of those sacrifices. So he's the ultimate sacrifice. He was the last Lamb of God who the sins of the world were placed upon him. I mean, Leviticus just shows us where the priest would place his hands on the unblemished animal that'd be presented in a sacrifice, as if the sins of whether the priests or of the people were being placed on that animal, and then the animal slaughtered in the presence of the tent of meeting. That is the same thing that Jesus did. The sin of the world were placed on Jesus, the Lamb of God, and then Jesus was slaughtered in order that we could be forgiven. So here's the beauty of it, though. So think about every thought, every word, every deed, every feeling that goes against the righteousness of God is deserving of God's punishment, but Jesus already paid for it. And so when you get to the end of chapter 6, verse 7, it says, in this way, the priest will make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. Jesus fulfilled that. Jesus is the ultimate and last high priest, as well as the ultimate and last sacrifice. So picture Jesus being explained in this verse of what it is that he's done for us. In the same way, the priest will make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. And what is the result? And he will be forgiven for anything he may have done to incur guilt. And there's grace. Oh my goodness, friends, that's grace. But grace is not something that we use so we can continue to sin. No, grace is what we need so we can continually fight against our sinful desires and our fleshly desires and our thoughts and our feelings and our actions, to crucify our flesh and our sins on a daily basis in order that we can live to Christ, live to bring him honor and glory. And so the passage that came to my mind is out of Romans chapter 5, just verses 20 and 21. And may this be an encouragement to you in your fight against sin, not in us thinking, well, Jesus understands I'm going to sin, so it's no big deal. No, God is offended by sin. Because I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven, absolutely. But I can still offend him on a daily basis. It's not like anything that I do today is just not in view of God. God sees all. He knows all, sees all. But what grace is there for is that I can actually live by the grace of God, receiving his forgiveness and receiving what's necessary in order to live a holy life. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. But where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where sin increases, grace increases even more. The grace of God never ends. It is always at our disposal. We always have grace available to us, not just so that we can live comfortably and know that we're forgiven, knowing that we're forgiven and right before God, powerful, life-changing, but also the grace of God that is available to us is so that we can fight against our temptations, fight against our sinful desires, and live to the glory of God, to bring him glory in everything that he does and has said, but to bring him glory in everything that we do, to say, I want to worship you with everything that I am, God, because you're worthy. I don't want sin. I don't want any aspect of sin in my life. I don't want any thought or word or feeling to be present. I don't want any deed to be offensive to you. Friends, our sin is an offense to God. Our sin is an offense to God, but praise God for his grace. By grace you've been saved through faith. And this, I'm sorry, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so no one can boast. That is the beauty of the gospel. By grace we've been saved. But by grace we live every single day to the glory of God. For without the grace of God, we couldn't do anything without it. So friends, I pray that this is a wake-up call for some. I pray it's an encouragement and a conviction as we continue to live as disciples and walk with Jesus. Friends, I love you more than you know. We'll talk soon.